Everybody, welcome to Michelle is Money Hungry. I'm your host, Michelle Jackson, having financial conversations for the financially single woman. If you're interested in becoming an entrepreneur, paying off debt, making more money, this is the place for you. So about a week ago, I was watching one of my friend's Instagram stories. This friend is Amanda Bea. She is a personal finance influencer and sales rock star, and she is currently doing like a 31-day workout challenge or just something where she has to do about 30 minutes of physical activity a day. And she's following some program. Anyway, she's talking about participating in this program and working out. And she goes, you know, I have to show up for myself every day. And that small comment that she made kind of like tickled my ear, if you know what I mean. And I just spent a lot of time thinking about that, but in a different way. I just started thinking about that comment about, you know, showing up for yourself financially. Like, what does that mean? What does that look like on a daily basis, on a weekly basis? And then kind of thinking about my own finances and the things that I do that are both good and very bad, and how I self-sabotage and don't, and just some of the things that when I'm successful with money really work because I'm showing up for myself. So that is what we're going to talk about today in this episode of Michelle's Money Hungry. This episode is sponsored by the Money on the Mountain Financial Retreat for Financially Single Women. If you are interested in attending, tickets are on sale or are for sale. You can also sign up at text the following Money on the Mountain to 44222 to get information about the retreat. I'm like so excited. I'm getting really excited about it. It will be taking place in Denver, Colorado, October 2019. So we've got some time, but tickets are selling. So you don't want to lose your spot. There's a limited number of tickets. So make sure you get on that list, or you just go to michellesmoneyhungry.com/retreat to look at the information. During last week's show, I spoke with Cassandra Descent. You know what? I can't say her name right because I was saying it the French way and now it's like stuck in my brain the wrong way. Anyway, I was talking to my friend Cassandra because I've known her for years. She's amazing. And she brought up something that I found so interesting and so important. And I hadn't thought about it until she brought this up. And she was like, you know, the personal finance community does not do a good job of talking about debt recidivism. Basically, she was saying people will pay off their debt and then fall back into debt. And what does that mean? Why does that happen? What does that look like? And while I haven't fallen back into debt, partly because like my debt repayment's just been so slow, I think I'm just so paranoid about adding new debt that that's just, in my case, hopefully won't happen. It's just a conversation that I don't see a lot of. I see a lot of stories about, I paid off $100,000 worth of debt, boom, or I saved $100,000, boom. But I don't think we see enough about, I paid off, you know, $30,000 worth of debt and 6 years later, I'm $100,000 in debt. I knew that this was a topic that resonated with people because I actually saw something on Instagram about this, and I'm so frustrated. I forgot to figure out whose Instagram feed I was looking at where this financial influencer talked about the fact that they'd paid off their debt. And then several years later, they were $100,000 into debt. And the idea that a lot of times your financial decisions, it's a mental thing. It's something going on in your brain and your habits and your knowledge base, and it comes together in a perfect storm. And if we don't deal with why you got into the mess you got into, it's going to be a situation that keeps repeating itself. So I got that. Like, I totally understood that. It resonated with me. And I thought that I would expand on that topic by discussing action steps that people can take so that you can show up for yourself day in and day out financially. And I want to first acknowledge that showing up for yourself financially after years of having money kind of happen to you is really freaking hard. How do I know that? Because that is my life. Like, every single day, I have to, like everyone else, make financial choices. And for me, sometimes those financial choices are very anchored in how I feel about myself. They're anchored in how I'm actually feeling physically. They're connected to if I'm feeling depressed that day for some reason, like something's going on. And it's hard. Like, it's very hard to manage that at times. And I have to acknowledge that maybe for me, this is going to be an ongoing struggle, but that I have to address it. I have to admit that this is an issue for me, mindset, and that each day I have to work on making things better. But there are actions that I take and that I must take daily in order to maintain and continue making progress with my finances. Now, I should say at this point in time, I've paid off thousands of dollars in debt. I can't even believe how much I've paid off in debt. I've got it like really added up. And I'm nearing a milestone, which is I'm almost at the point where my unsecured debt is almost gone. Does that mean I'm debt free? No, not even close, because I still have my student loans. But having a single debt versus like 30 is a huge deal. And I was very frustrated at the end of last year because I physically got tired. I just got tired. It threw my back out. Like, everything went wrong. And I realized that sometimes just things have their pace. Does it change anything for me to be paid off by my birthday in July versus in December? It's a 6-month difference. Maybe 7, big deal. It's still done. And that was something that I had to come to terms with. So one of the things that I do to help me stay focused and keep track is I track my spending. For me, it's these little expenses that add up over time and make a huge difference. I think it was Benjamin Franklin who talked about the small expenses that can sink like your budget. It was some kind of cute little saying that he had about like small, what? Oh God, that's going to annoy me. Okay. I'm going to figure it out. Okay. So he had a famous quote. This is what it is. Beware of little expenses. A small leak will sink a great ship. So I actually spent a lot of time kind of looking at my little expenses, because my overall expenses at this point are quite low. Like, my overall living expenses are pretty reasonable, but it's these little things where I spend impulsively, or I just lose track of the fact that I spent $25 in a day, and then that ends up being $250 in a month because 10 days I did that in a month. Those are the expenses that I'm really trying to make sure that I capture and understand what it is that I'm doing. So just tracking my spending. One of the things I realized recently was February and March were kind of a wash. I did not do as good a job of keeping track of my expenses. And one of the ways that I track them is I create a simple Google Doc that kind of functions like a homemade app, because I do a lot of spending with my debit card, but it's basically cash. And so what I like to do is, say I go to Starbucks or coffee shop or whatever, or I buy a light rail ticket or whatever is going on, I like to immediately put that into my homemade app. And as long as it's made before the month begins and uploaded onto my phone, no big whoop. But for some reason, I just missed doing it, and I ended up starting the month behind. And what I notice is when that happens, it's just kind of hard to backtrack and figure out what I spent money on. So going into April, I'm really trying to avoid that mistake. The next thing that I do is I focus on money mindset exercises. I will say that this is actually the most important financial action that I have to take on a daily basis. When my mind's not right, my money isn't, period. There's no way around it. And here are a couple of things that I notice happening when I don't focus on money mindset. Doubts start to crop up in my mind. I earn less when I don't focus on money mindset. And I just, in general, I lose ground. I lose financial ground. And so here are a couple of things that I do to really keep focused and stay present with my money. I journal, and I journal about what I want, what I'm hoping for, what I'm working towards, anything that's in that I'm worried about or concerned about, I will journal about that as well. I also like to focus on motivational affirmations and mantras. I actually include a link in the show notes to those money mantras, so definitely check that out. And here actually are a couple of mantras. I have a positive relationship to money and know how to use it wisely. Money flows freely to me. This too shall pass. The next thing that I work on is just growing my income. I think that not enough conversations are being had about making more money. My overall expenses, again, are pretty low, like really low, but real talk, even if I didn't have debts to repay, I and you, all of us, should be really seriously focusing on growing income. And at the time of this show, which is March, through about the end of October, it's just a wonderful time to focus on growing income. This is that season. If you've ever heard of the story of the ant and the grasshopper, you know how the ant works hard all summer long during the warm months and puts food aside and just like is hustling, and the grasshopper is playing around and dies in the winter. I know it's very, very morbid. I grew up with my mom always reading me that book, but it's funny, especially as an entrepreneur, every year, do you know what I notice? From December through February, my money is tight, not kind of tight, like it's crazy tight, because that's the season when I sell the fewest items, when it's just a hard time financially every since I've worked for myself. Every other month, it's like there's side hustles and affiliate income and projects and all this kind of thing. And this year, because I've got 3 or 4 years of empirical evidence showing me that December through February are painful, I'm planning for that this year. I am not messing around. So I don't want to make the mistake of not noticing that every year for 3 months, it's just tight. Like the money just for some reason is tight. Does it mean that could change next year? Of course it could change, but I'm planning as if it might not. And so there's some things that you can think about in terms of growing your income as well as myself. So the first thing is, if you're working a 9-to-5, really aware of what you're getting paid hourly, because even if you're a salaried person, you can break that down and have kind of a ballpark idea of what each hour of your time is worth. Are you commuting to your job? Like, just figure out the money and then see if you can work overtime, put in for a promotion, change your job while building in a significant raise. And you need to angle for, in my opinion, at least a minimum of 15% more than what you are being paid in your current job. So when you're looking for new jobs, figure out a minimum of 15%. Like when you're looking at what they're going to pay you, it needs to be significantly more than what you're getting paid now. Because once you get your new job, they might give you 3-5% raises. So when you're when you're applying for new jobs, just look at the starting salary and make sure that it's significantly more than what you're getting paid now, because then you've built in a raise. And then if they give you janky raises of 3%, which honestly, they're janky. Like, I don't know why people get excited about 3%. It's not even at the pace of inflation, but we won't get there. We won't even go there. When you're looking for new jobs, build in your raise, because then once you get there, you are okay. And you've addressed that issue. You want to earn more, you need to make sure that you're asking for more from the beginning. Work your numbers. Just work your numbers. So if you can side hustle, if you'd like to side hustle, don't just work any side hustle. I find that sometimes people get excited about side hustles, but then they don't think deeply about how they should be working those side hustles. Does the side hustle pay you weekly? How frequent is the availability of work? So there's some side hustles that I've done in the past where it's like occasional money, once every 3 weeks. Like, what's the point of that? So look at, unless it's a significant amount of money, by the way. So look at, your side hustles, break down the amount that you're going to earn, how frequently you'll get work, how frequently you get paid. Really spend some time thinking about that. Look at the energy that you would expend. If you work with people, I would say that if you work with people in a 9-to-5 or in your regular job, look for a way to side hustle where you don't have to work with people so that you can conserve your energy for your main gig. There are so many ways that you can make extra money via a side hustle without expending a lot of additional energy. So it doesn't make sense if you are a salesperson to also add a side hustle that makes you a salesperson. That might be energetically really exhausting for you. So you might be a salesperson and then find a side hustle where you're charging Bird scooters. So you don't have to talk to anyone, you don't have to do anything, you just pick up a whole bunch of scooters, charge them in your house, and then you're done. So think about how you can side hustle in a smart way that doesn't make you tired. That side hustle, by the way, I love the idea of just charging scooters, but since I don't use scooters and I don't want to deal with them, that's one side hustle I'm not going to do, but sometimes I think about it. If you're self-employed, ask yourself, how often am I getting in front of my ideal customers? That was something that I've spent a lot of time reflecting on. I'm about to begin really reaching out to people that I think should be taking my course, Make Money with eBooks, should be coming to the retreat, Money on the Mountain retreat. And it's really easy to feel like, well, they should be coming to me. But no, sometimes people get distracted. Sometimes people have other things going on. And sometimes they don't know that you think that they would be awesome recipients of the services that you offer, or that they would be wonderful students for the course that you have, or whatever. Or they may not know that you have a solution to their problem unless you reach out. So if you're self-employed, how often are you getting in front of people? In April, I'm doing what I'm calling a brand building tour. I've actually scheduled times to connect with influencers in front of their communities to talk about a specific topic. You'll see it as we get into April. And the reason why I did that was because I was like, you know, I need to get in front of more people, and I need to do it in a way that is comfortable for me, that's natural, and that is helpful to both myself and the other person and their community. So that is what I'm doing. Why? Because it's a win-win-win. And that is part of being an entrepreneur. You need to get in front of people. And also, just, are you focusing on the right things as an entrepreneur? I am not as active on social media. I'm still too active, I think, on social media, but I'm definitely shifting my focus because I don't have time for that. Like, it's not the thing that actually makes me money. So I've switched my focus on focusing on what actually does. By the way, your financial life is an ultra marathon. Again, I've brought this up in earlier episodes, but I'm really reframing how I view my financial life, which is, you always hear the story like, your life is a marathon. I'm like, bull crap. It's not a marathon. It's a ultra marathon, because right when you think you're done, it's the false summit, which is like middle age or whatever. And then there's still more to go. So the point is, maybe you make a mistake today and it's a bad one. As long as you wake up tomorrow, you can begin again. Really, you can begin again. You may take years to clean up a mess, but you can still take action and clean up a mess. How do I know? That's my life right now. I'm cleaning up messes, and it's been painful and been humbling on a level that I can't explain. It's been tiring. I've made other mistakes on top of that. And then each day I wake up. As long as I wake up each day, I can move forward. Keep that in mind. I think people get really hard on themselves about their money and their choices, or not even money, just their lives. And I'm like, you know what? Did you wake up? Are you healthy? Do you have friends and family who are there for you? Do you have communities you're a part of? If you do, then you're good. That's it. If you don't, then we need to get you with community at least. And there's a lot of communities out there to support you in what you're trying to do. Finally, consistent action builds up over time. My friend Lindsay from Science Finance is now making 6 figures a year. And it's really interesting because she was having a hard time. Like, they had a house in Alaska, and this is public record. This is something she's talked about. I'm not talking out of turn. They had a house in Alaska. The house was draining them financially. There were all these issues. It was just a disaster. They were here in Colorado. They were just, everything was not going right. And my poor friend was side hustling in an animal lab cleaning animal cages. Really. And they were struggling. And finally, one day, she just decided, like, a lot more things happened. Like, everything just went to hell. And then one day, she's like, you know what? I'm really scared to do this, but every day, I'm going to pitch someone new a day. And she says that she was really nervous to do this. Like, she's a shy person. She's introverted. She's awesome. But this was out of her comfort zone. And so every day, she reached out to one person, one company, one organization. And over time, that small, consistent action started to wield fruit, i.e. money and gigs and writing, because she's a freelance writer. My point in sharing that story is small, consistent actions are important and make a difference. And you can create, you can focus on an action that's comfortable for you that will yield, excuse me, a little hiccup there, that will yield a result. So have a goal, build up your confidence, create your plan, and work the plan. Don't be afraid. You know, I was always afraid to look at my numbers, like my money numbers. And it was just scary to see all that debt and to see all the, like, what I was earning or not. And the numbers, when you're looking at them, they're not there to judge. They're just a barometer to make sure you're taking the right actions to meet your goals. And even after all of these years, I admit, like, I still get afraid to look at them. Like, sometimes I'm just like, oh my God, but I push through that fear. And I look at the numbers anyway, because I have to show up for myself financially, as do you. There really isn't any option, because every day from now until I'm like 107, because I'm going to be that cute 107-year-old who's dancing with the president in the White House, I'm gonna have to make money choices until then, right? So I have to just work on it each day in a way that doesn't frighten me, that I can build success on. And if that means having one client a day, like connecting with one person that will read one of my Autumn Stone books, or one person who's gonna buy a ticket to the Money on the Mountain retreat, or one person who's going to purchase my course, that's all I need to have happen. And then over time, that will build up. When you finish listening to this show, I want you to think about the small, consistent action you can take to build up your money, to build up your financial confidence, whatever it is. Let me know. Comment on the show notes. Email me at michelleismoneyhungry@gmail.com. I definitely want to hear what that one action is you're going to take to build and change, to build your finances and change your financial life. If you enjoyed this show, make sure to subscribe and like the show. It is on iTunes, Spotify, and Stitcher, again, in the show notes. You can go to michelleismoneyhungry.com/how-to-show-up. That's, again, michelleismoneyhungry.com/how-to-show-up. Thank you for listening, and have a beautiful rest of your day.